all, but I find that sometimes when I pray, I hear what I wasn't looking for and didn't expect. Anybody else have that experience? I was looking at the scriptures that we have assigned for this Sunday, and some of them are pretty harsh. And you read them, and you read the harshness that's in the words. And, well, you know, there are a variety of ways that we respond to that harshness. Sometimes we might say, well, maybe that's the way God used to be, but I sure hope he's not that way anymore. Or, well, what we know from Jesus is that that was a misunderstanding of who God was. Or maybe we take it seriously and we use it and feel chastened by it. What I know when I read the scriptures was that things were said pretty strongly. And if you were here last week and you heard me preach about what this family of God is about, that was pretty strong too. If you haven't heard it, interesting sound. Is that coming from me, Chris, or somewhere else? If you haven't heard it, there's a tape on the table, and I don't usually say this, but if you haven't heard it, please take the tape and listen to it, because I really believe that it's normative. It's what God wants for us in this congregation. It was about the crude life-saving station that we're called to be rather than a club. It was a pretty strong word. And I read this scripture this morning from Matthew about these three servants who are given differing amounts, and two of them invest and one doesn't, and when Jesus comes back, the one who hadn't invested starts the conversation with the master by saying, I know you're a hard man, and you take things that aren't yours. You harvest where you haven't planted. And so I wanted to protect myself, so I just buried it so that I wouldn't lose it because I was afraid of your harshness or your hardness. Yet there's no indication that this one who's accused by the servant of being harsh is so. In fact, we know that he gave this servant a bag of gold or a talent in other translations. And so as I prayed over these scriptures and over what the Lord wanted me to preach about this Sunday, and I just basically said, Lord, what is it that you want me to preach? He said, peace. 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 That then took, I then had to deal with that and the scriptures that we heard there. I believe the message is something like this. Most of us growing up, the churches that we've been in, wherever they've been, when we've heard this parable of the talents told, one way or another, the focus was on that last servant and his failure and his being thrown out to where there is weeping and gnashing of teeth. And that last servant has been the example used directly or indirectly in order to encourage us to give to the church. Anybody else have this experience? Or was I alone? Okay. And yet if we look at the other servants in this story, what we find is that they were given a great deal, which they then respected and used effectively, and that they were honored for that and given more. It reminds me of another verse, which Jim pointed out to me just the other day, Psalm 85, verse 10. Is that right? 81, thank you. Psalm 81, verse 10, where God says, open your mouths wide, and I will fill them with good things. That's the New Living Translation. Others, open your mouths wide, and I will fill them. And the image is of a little baby bird in a nest. Little baby birds in nests, when mother or father comes to feed it, are not like this. There isn't just a little bit of the mouth open. That beak is wide open because it wants everything that the mother or father can give to it. And I think that's the image that God wants us to have. Open your mouths wide and I will fill them with good things. I'm going to take just a little bit of a journey here. Bear with me. If we look at the world that we live in a plain physical sense, what we discover without a lot of thought or effort is that everything that we have comes from two sources: the earth that we live on and the sun, which supplies all of the energy for this earth, all of it. Whether that energy is from a forest a long time ago that melted down over time, turned to oil or coal, whether it's from wood that we harvest today, whether it's from solar power, even the wind is caused by the heat from the sun on the earth. All of the energy that we have here comes from the sun. It's why some ancient civilizations worshiped the sun. They realized that that was the source of everything that they had, of all of the energy that they had. Even the food that we eat comes from the energy of the sun, transformed by plants into growth, in addition to the minerals from the earth, and we consume that. And then after we consume it, what happens inside our bodies? We breathe in air, oxygen, and we burn that food. So literally what happens in our bodies is our bodies burn the food that we eat. They use oxygen to combust it. So effectively what's going on in the sun is going on in us, only in a very small way. Well, we no longer believe that the sun is God. Rather, we see the sun as something created by God for our benefit. And its giving to us is unrelenting, much like God's pursuit of relationship with us, unrelenting. The sun continues to pour out over millennia, over millions of years, continues to give all that we need in order to live. And yet, most of us never take much more than a second thought about it, other than when it's overcast and cold, or if we want to go out and get a suntan. But we don't think about how what we have is given to us every day without restraint. And that's really an image of God and His relationship to us. In fact, it's more than an image. It's one of His gifts. The sun itself is one of His gifts to us. The earth is one of His gifts to us. Our lives are His gift to us. Our relationships with each other are His gift to us, of each other in community. His Son and His sacrifice is His gift to us without cost to us. The enormous cost to God without cost to us. He gives and He gives and He gives and He gives relentlessly. And yet, it's almost as if, for many of us, that we hardly take a notice of it. And I'm not trying to drive us toward guilt here. I believe guilt is important sometimes. But that's not what I'm trying to do. What I'm trying to do is look at the favor which God has shown us. The enormous favor which He has shown us. And our response to it ought to be regular, joyful response. And yet, often it isn't. Often we whine. I know I whine really well. And I suspect a lot of other folks here are pretty good at it. If we study the Old Testament and the way the Israelites gave in their worship, the way they gave to the ministry of their time and to worship, they gave an average, and I'll explain where this comes from, of 23 1/3% of their income every year to the church, using the word church broadly there. There were 2 10% tithes given every year, a tithe for the support of the clergy and the worship, a tithe which was called a celebration tithe, which went to pay for all of the good things that happened when the community gathered together and celebrated together in worship, celebrated God together in worship, and another tithe which they gave every 3 years. So that averaged, 3 1/3 a year. So they averaged 23 1/3% of their income every year to return to the Lord is probably the simplest way to put it. In our day and age, tithing is considered an enormous stretch. 10% is considered an enormous stretch by most everybody. It's like, man, I'd like to be able to tithe, but you know, it's just things are just too hard right now to be able to do that. It's a great stretch. And yet, those Israelites, if you could drop them into the center of our community here and they could see how the poorest of us lived, they would think we were kings. They would look at us as having extraordinary wealth. And yet, as poor as they were, they gave many times what we do. It's almost as if our hearts have forgotten how to be thankful. And not that there aren't other ways to be thankful, but it's almost as if we've forgotten how. Very often when a pledge campaign is done, for those of you folks who are new here today, we don't take pledges in this church. We don't do an annual campaign. We just don't do that. We ask folks to just go to the Lord and ask Him what they should be giving, and we rely on that. We promise to tell the congregation if there's a need. If we need to replace a boiler or a furnace, or we have a mission project or whatever, we share those needs, and then we rely on relationship between the Lord and His people to determine how giving is done. So this isn't the annual campaign talk. I'm talking about our relationship with the Lord and what's involved in that. Usually the word talent, when it's translated in this passage from Matthew, is used broadly rather than bag of gold. It's talent. And usually in a church, when they're giving the annual campaign talk, the annual campaign sermon, they talk about time, talent, and treasure. You've all heard those three T's before, right? Most everybody has. Time means some portion of your time should be given to the Lord. Talent means the talents that He's given you should be used in His service in some way. Treasure means whatever you've inherited, whatever you've earned in the course of the week, whatever you've made from stocks you've sold. Well, that's been pretty tiny for most folks lately. Whatever it is, all of those things, some portion of them, we give to the Lord. The challenge for us, I think, is how we do that without doing it out of guilt. For that matter, how do we do that without even striving to do it in an inappropriate kind of way? And I think that's where that word peace comes in. Because what the Lord desires in our hearts is the peace that understands how unflinching He is in His giving to us. How everything that we have, every breath that we have, is a gift from Him. Every dollar that we have is a gift from Him. Every ability, every point of IQ is a gift from Him. And whether there are 10 or 5 or 2, or 5 or 2 or 1, every one is a gift. And it ought to be out of the gratefulness of our hearts, with our eyes wide open, seeing what He has done and what He has given. It ought to be out of that that flows our response to Him. Now, my family tithes, and I don't say that as a way of bragging. I was taught that by my former pastor, who tithed. And I remember I was in a church, an Episcopal church, which doesn't typically talk about that. They talk about proportional giving. And the principle is, you know, if you give 1% or 3%, it's okay, just so long as you're consistent in your proportion. Maybe you're working toward a tithe someday in the distant future. There are other churches where if you don't tithe, you can't even be in leadership in the church. You're just excluded. And they watch like a hawk what it is you make and what you give. It's sort of a hyper-legalism. Both of those, I think, err. And not that my version here is perfect, but I think both of them err. What this is about is gratefulness and being aware of how grateful we ought to be. Next month, I will sit down and look at whatever our income was for the year. We've been, as a family, giving what I believe is a tithe over the course of the year. But next month, I'll sit down and add up income from the various sources that we have and I'll add up what we've given to the church. And if what we've given so far isn't 10%, I will make up the difference. I will do that. I promise I don't want anybody to feel like I'm using this guilt manipulation to get you all to do the same thing. I would ask you to prayerfully consider it, but no more than that. Because really, the message here is a joyful one. It's a peaceful one. It isn't out of guilt that we've responded. It isn't out of fear that we've responded. It's out of a growing awareness of God's goodness to us. As in Kathy's testimony, the Lord has blessed all of us in extraordinary ways. And I really believe that He wants us to bless others by our ministry. And the ministry of this church isn't the ministry of George. It's the ministry of this whole body of Christ. You are all priests of God. Scripture says that. And I desire and expect all of you to behave like it and do ministry. If you can breathe and you're in this church, you should be doing ministry. Because that's what God desires. It's what the body of Christ is about. And so the giving of my family to this body of Christ, like the giving of all of you to this body of Christ, is so that God's ministry through this body of Christ might reach others who just don't know Him yet, who are wounded, who are lost in sin, who have no relationship or a fractured, bitter, broken relationship with the Lord, and whom He desires to restore to Himself. And He chooses to do that through His people. Doesn't need to, He's omnipotent. But He chooses to do it through His people. And so we are the ministers that He has chosen. And it should be with priests' hearts, with believers' hearts, with thankful, grateful hearts that we give of our time, that we give of the abilities He's given us, that we give of our treasure, knowing that all of it, every breath was a free gift from Him. And eternity is a free gift from Him. All we do is accept it. The world needs that good news. And it's been given to us. What a privilege to share it.